thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We come to church many times and, you know, we don't come in with any expectation. We don't come in with any thought of what God's going to do. And yet, the Master is here. And he shows up and he moves by his Holy Spirit. And I'm looking at these young people, and I just wish I was maybe 30 years younger, honestly. But you know something? The same God that they experienced last week is the same God that we experience now. And that's the reality. Each one of us should have that hunger and that desire to reach into the things that God has for each one of us. It's just not for the young people. It's for everybody. God wants us to experience him. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you what we have experienced already in this place. And we just pray that as we turn to your word, we just pray, Father God, that you would enable me, that you would help me, that you would guide me, and Lord, that you would just come and do something wonderful in this place, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 3. It's Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to read more or less the whole chapter. Beginning in verse 1. So Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know the way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that you may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach of the edge of the Jordan, the waters go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come and hear and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and you will certainly drive out your enemies before you. See the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and all of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up on a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Sarathan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arab, the Salt Sea, and completely was cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. If you're taking notes, my title this morning is A New Season. A New Season. You know, Joshua 3 that we've just read brings Israel to one of the most significant moments in their history. They have been traveling through the wilderness for around 40 years, and now they're standing on the edge of the promised land. We have to remember that a whole generation had passed away. Moses is gone. Joshua is now leading the people with the promise of God embedded on his heart. We read that promise in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, where it reads, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I shall be with you. Be strong and be courageous." And as Joshua leads the people, he's holding on to this promise of God. And I want you to just to think about it for a moment. In verse 1, it tells us that Joshua leads the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan River before they camped over. And just think about that picture. As they stand before the Jordan River, scholars would say there's probably between 2 to 3 million Israelis
Israelites waiting to cross over the river. Behind them was the wilderness. In front of them was the promise of God. But between the promise, between them and the blessing, was the Jordan River. And in verse 5, which we have just read, tells us that at this stage of the harvest, the River Jordan was overflowing. It was flowing fast. The waters were rumbling. It was dangerous. This was not the easiest point or the easiest time in life to cross the river. Yet God was calling them to take a step. God was calling them forward into a new season. They had reached a moment where they decided whether they would remain where they were or they would trust God enough to move forward. And can I say, I believe this is a powerful picture for us today, church. You know, God brings us through different seasons. But in them seasons, He doesn't intend for each one of us to stay there. Them seasons are not permanent. There are moments when God says, it is time to move forward. There is a new season ahead. And can I say this morning, church, stepping into a new season, no matter how old you are, no matter what background you come from, stepping into a new season is not easy. Stepping into a new season requires faith. It requires obedience to trust God because He knows the way forward. And my three simple points this morning that I believe that Joshua 3 shows each one of us: prepare for a new season, follow the presence of God, and step into the water. That's my three simple points today. Prepare for a new season. In verse 3, or verse 5, it says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, before Israel crossed the Jordan, Joshua told them to prepare themselves before God would do a miracle. Preparation had to happen. What did consecration mean? It meant for Israel to set themselves apart. It means turning their eyes, turning their hearts toward God, removing anything that hindered their obedience, preparing spiritually for what God was about to do. It was a time of repentance. It was a time of cleansing. It was a time of renewed commitment. It was a time of prayer. It was a time of trusting God's holiness and His presence and leadership before getting into the promised land. And can I say this morning, church, that's important for each one of us sitting here in Balamunna Elam. Why is it important? Because sometimes we want God to change our circumstances, to take us to new heights. But the reality is, God wants to change our hearts first. That is the reality. We want a new season, but we want to bring all the old stuff of the old season with us. We want new opportunities, but we want to hold on to all the old attitudes. We want the growth, but we don't want the responsibility. We want revival, but we don't want prayer. We want God to use us, but we don't want to surrender our lives. And Joshua says to the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. In other words, get ready. Get ready. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your life. Prepare for what God is about to do when He leads you into the promised land. Notice that Joshua didn't tell the people to sit around wondering whether God would fulfill His promise. God had already spoken. And there's faith in preparation. You know, if you believe that God is going to do something, you begin preparing for what God is about to do. You prepare yourself. I came across this illustration. Imagine a farmer who prays unto the Lord for a great harvest, but he never prepares his field. He says, God, give me a great harvest. He prays for rain. He prays for sunshine. He prays for the crops, but he never goes out and plows the ground. He never plants the seed. He never prepares the field. And when the harvest time comes, he has nothing to bring in. Why? Because he prayed for something he was unwilling to prepare for. You see, faith is just not simply asking God to move. Faith prepares for God's movement. Faith prepares for God's movement. I remember in a meeting many years ago when they were talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and about people being ready and being prepared for to receive when God comes. And it says, you never know when the wind might blow, but you can always prepare your sails to catch it when it does. And it's about being prepared. You see, what does being prepared look like for us? It means becoming a church that is prepared to set our eyes on Jesus and pray. It means becoming a church that is prepared to worship without reservation. We don't mind the people beside us, but we enter in and we praise. And it's wonderful just to take a look around this room this morning. You know, from the oldest to the youngest, entering in and worshiping God for who He is. It means becoming a church that is prepared to serve. It means becoming a church that is prepared to welcome strangers without condemnation. It means becoming a church that is prepared to be more concerned about reaching people than protecting the comfort. It means becoming a church that lets go of traditions for the glory of God. You see, being prepared is personal. What do I need to leave behind in the wilderness before I step into the next season? See, for the Israelites, we have to remember for 40 years they sinned in the wilderness. They had disappointments. And they had to let go of everything. They had to consecrate themselves. They had to be prepared to see the glory of the Lord for the next season that God would have them in. And maybe this morning, church, maybe you and I maybe need to let go of the past and look to the future. That no matter what the world says, that we come to church with anticipation that God is still building His church. God is still moving by His Spirit. God is still doing a great and mighty work. You see, the wilderness was a season for the children of Israel. It was not their destination. They hadn't seen the miracle yet, but they were told to prepare. Church, we might not always see what God is doing. God is always moving in the background, but we can prepare our hearts. And when God opens that door, we want to be ready to walk through it. So just don't pray for a new season. Prepare to be in it. Because what I see, God is moving in this place. There's many churches you go to on a Sunday morning and they're dead. They're dead and there's life in this place. God's presence in this place. And be prepared to ready to walk through the door when God opens it. Just don't pray for a new season. Prepare for it. Point two, follow the presence of God. We know that in the Old Testament, the ark represented God's presence among His people. And in verse 3, Joshua tells the people to watch for the ark of the covenant and follow it. And then in verse 4, he gives the reason why. They were to follow because they had never been this way before. They were to follow the presence of the Lord because they had never been this way before. They were entering unfamiliar territory. They didn't know exactly what was ahead. They didn't have the experience of this new season that God had prepared for them. They couldn't predict every change. They couldn't see the whole journey. But God knew the way and He was going before them. I think this is one of the greatest lessons in this chapter. You don't have to know the way if you know the one who's leading it. You don't have to know the way if you know the one that's leading it. And there are times in our lives when we want God to give us the entire plan. Oh, I would love that sometimes. For God to sit down with a map and say, Danny, this is you here, you know, at 30 years of age. This is you here at 40 years of age. This is you here at 50 years of age. This is where you're going to be at 60 years of age. And this is when you're going to be promoted to glory. We would love that type of map, wouldn't we? Life would be so much easier. But often God doesn't give us the next step. You see, we want to know what happens 6 months from now, but God just simply says, trust me today and follow me. Trust me today and follow me. We want certainty, but God just simply says, have my presence. Have my presence. Follow me. You see, Israel's confidence was not in their knowledge of what was across the river. Their confidence was in a God who had brought them out of Egypt. Who had brought them through the wilderness and who was leading them into the promised land. They didn't have the full map. They didn't have everything worked out. Their eyes were transfixed on Him. And that is important for any church that is entering into a new season, that they have confidence in the God of all creation, the God who goes before them. You know, as people who are born again by the Spirit of the living God, we need to get back to becoming sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, we see so much charismatic stuff, like off-the-wall scale stuff, that we sort of back away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that we're afraid to talk about. The Holy Spirit is something that we're afraid to engage with. You know, we're happy to talk about God the Father, God the Son, but when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, we nearly set the Holy Spirit into the corner and we don't want to engage with Him because of the things that we have seen. But as God's people, we have to become so sensitive again to His presence. Before we make any decisions, we pray. Before we start something new, we pray. Before we appoint leaders, we pray. Before any change of direction, we pray. And we ask for God's guidance by His Holy Spirit. We want to be a people that is obedient to God and want to be led by His Spirit and His Word. You see, there is a difference to being led by His Spirit. There's a difference being led by His Word. See, there's a difference in two. We can be so busy. I know many churches that are so, so busy, but are not fruitful. They have so many programs in place, but yet still miss God's purpose. We can have so much activity without having spiritual direction. I've seen many churches over the years that have program after program after program after program after program after program. And yet the presence of God is not in the place. It's just all about programs. And God is calling God's people. He's calling His church into a new season. See, we need His presence. We need His Word. We need His wisdom. We need His guidance. And when God leads, we follow. Just like the children of Israel, when they had to wait at the river, they had to wait. When God says, move, they had to move. When He opened the door, they had to walk. And that is exactly the same for each one of us. When He opens the door, we walk through it. If He closes the door, we trust Him. If He changes the plan, we surrender ours. Our confidence as God's people is not in our own ability to predict the future. Our confidence is in a God who already stands in our future. And that's what the Israelites had to learn. You know, in Exodus 33 and 15, Moses says, if Your presence, Lord, does not go with us, do not take us from this place. See, Moses was in tune with his Heavenly Father. He was in tune with what God wanted to do. We're not moving, Lord, if You don't go with us. It's pointless to do A, B, and C if You're not with us. And maybe we don't know what the next season will be like for you or will be like for me. But I want you to remember Joshua 3. Israel has never been this way before, but God has. He already stands in the future. We might not know what tomorrow brings. God is already there. We might not know what next week brings, but God is already there. He's at every corner of our lives, every step that we take. God is already there. But for so many of us, we allow the unknown, don't we, to stop our obedience. Because we don't know the journey, because we don't know the map, because we take our eyes off God, we stop the unknown to stop our obedience. Church, if I can encourage you this morning, whatever the Spirit is saying to you, be obedient to His Word. We will keep His Word. We will walk in His Word. We will breathe in His Word. We will magnify His Word. His Word is our seatbelt. It guards us. We need to be simply a people who trust and follow the presence of God and partnership with Him in the journey that He has for each one of us to go to the promised land. Point three, step into the water. When I was thinking about this morning, before I came down the road, I remember taking my kids to the swimming pool when they were a lot smaller. And then I used to get them and launch them into the water. I'm sure all the dads used to do it here as well. But learning to jump into the pool with no life jacket on, you know, you put them out the side of the pool and go, jump into daddy's arms, and they would never really do it. You see, once you took them by the hand and said, jump into the water, there was no problem because daddy had them by the hand. Jump into the water. And now we come to the moment when faith has to become an action. In verse 8, Joshua tells the priest carrying the ark to go and stand in the Jordan. Think about what God was asking them to do. He was not asking them to stand beside this flowing river that was bulging at the seams. He was asking them to go and stand in the river. We've already said in verse 15 that the Jordan was at flood stage at this harvest time. It wasn't a convenient moment. It wasn't an easy moment. The river was overflowing, but God still said, step in. Step in. In verse 13, it says that when the priest carrying the ark stepped into the Jordan, the water stopped flowing. And I want you to notice the order. They stepped in first. They stepped in first, and then the water stopped. Didn't make sense to put their feet in this flowing river. It was dangerous. Didn't make sense. But they obeyed, and they witnessed an absolute miracle. You see, that is faith, church. That is faith. You see, faith is not pretending that the river wasn't there. Faith is recognizing that the river is there, but believing that God is greater than the river. Sometimes we say, God, remove the obstacle, and then I'll obey. We sort of bargain with God. God, if you do this for me, then I'll do that for you. If you take this away from me, I'll go to the prayer meeting every Tuesday night. You do this for me, but sometimes God's ask us, obey. I used to sing it at the old brother meeting, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sometimes God just simply says, obey, and watch me deal with the obstacle that is in front of you. And there comes a moment when each one of us has to put our foot in the water. What does stepping into the water look like for you and me? Well, it means moving from talking to doing. It means moving from intention to obedience. It means moving from sitting to serving. It means from moving from doubt to believing. It means moving from someone doing something to saying, God, use me. No matter how old, no matter how young, God has something for us to do. And it's just taking that first step into the water by faith, allowing God to carry out his plans. You see, God, as I said, rarely gives us the whole journey. He just gives us the next step. The next step. And sometimes that next step is stepping into something. Stepping into the flowing water. Stepping into the uncertainty. Stepping into something that seems impossible. And God just simply says to the leaders of Israel, take that step into the flowing rivers and behold the great thing that I will do before you. You see, one step, can I say this morning, church, can change everything. Think about Israel. Entire nation. We've seen it on the news there through the week last week. There was over 80,000 people came from Morocco, went to Spain. Just hordes and hordes and hordes and hordes of people. Here you have over 2 million Israelis, Israelites, standing on one side of the river. They could just see the promise. And they couldn't enter into the promised land. They couldn't enter into this new season until somebody stepped into the water. 2 million people relying on a few men just to step into this raging river so everybody could enter the way. You see, the priest took the first step and the water dried up. And that step opened up the way for everyone else. Read over in chapter 4, verse 13, it says that 42,000 soldiers went before them. And maybe, can I say this morning, your obedience will open the door for somebody else. Maybe taking a step of courage to encourage somebody else through your testimony might bring somebody to faith. Maybe serving will create an environment when somebody meets Jesus. You know, never underestimate the next step. Never underestimate being obedient with a step of faith. The question is not, do I know everything is going to be okay? The question, am I willing to take the next step of faith to see God's glory? You see, the Jordan is in front of them. The future is in front of them. The blessing is in front of them. And can I say this morning, church, the Jordan is in front of us. Our future is in front of us. The mission is in front of us. The people that we are called to reach are in front of us. And basically, God is saying, step into the water by faith and see what I will do. Step into the water by faith and see what I will do. See, the river may be deep. The future may be unfamiliar. The challenge may be great. But can I say this morning, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is mightier. So can I encourage you to prepare your heart. follow His presence, step into the water by faith. And you know something, when we get to the other side, like the Israelites, we will turn our heads and look back and say, only God could have done this. Only God could have done this. See, God allowed His people, when we think back of coming from out of Egypt, we think of Moses standing at the Red Sea and how he parted the waters to bring His people out. You see, that was an experience of the older generations. I'm sure in the wilderness, that's all they heard about. You know, God did this back then. God parted the seas. God did this and God did that. But now God gives them an encounter, an experience of their own, where they stood at the River Jordan and they seen God cut off the water, and every single one of them walked through on dry ground. God gave them that experience before entering into the Promised Land, something that they could hold on to themselves. See, this is a new season. It's not ultimately about what we can accomplish or what you can accomplish in your own life. It's about what God can do through surrendered people. And the question that you have to answer this morning, each individual, are you willing to take a step of faith and just simply trust Him? Take a step of faith and simply trust Him. Now, as you come to the end, I want you to remember three things. Prepare your hearts. Consecrate yourselves. Get ready. Set your sails that when the wind blows that you're ready. When God opens the door that you're ready. When He lays out the map before you to take a step of faith that you're ready. Prepare your hearts. Consecrate yourselves. Get your eyes on Him. Get rid of all the old stuff. And get ready for a new season. Follow His presence. The Spirit and the Word together. Follow His presence. That anointing, and simply take a step of faith. It was great to see different people moving about the church this morning, laying hands on each other and praying. That's what a community of believers is like. Praying for one another, encouraging one another, stepping into people's messes, difficulties in life, and praying with them, standing with them. Step out in faith and just believe God for who He is. You know, as JST stood here this morning, you know, we are the people of the gospel. They'll go into all the world and preach the good news. Heal the sick, cast out the demons, raise the dead, the blind will see, the lame shall walk. That is our God. That is the gospel that we stand on. Take a step of faith, because when we take that step of faith, you just might not know what God will do. He will just step in and do something wonderful. So prepare, follow, and step. Take a step of faith. Prepare your hearts for what God wants to do. Follow His presence, because you have never been this way before. Then step into the water by faith and just sit back and keep your eyes on Him and see what God will accomplish. Can I say this morning, church, if we're looking at the overall view, you know, Joshua is a picture of Christ. You know, as he leads his children, you come to this great divide, the river. The Promised Land is here. We are here. There's no way across it. You know something, for salvation this morning, church, there's no way that we can reach the Promised Land. There's no way we can reach our Heavenly Father without Christ. It is only through Him, through His sacrifice, through His blood, through the confession of sins and repentance, that we can have our sins forgiven. So I can encourage you this morning, church, prepare your hearts, follow His presence, and take a step of faith, and let's see what God will do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to acknowledge this morning who You are. Lord, we acknowledge that You are great and that You are mighty and that You are wonderful. Lord, I thank You that You have a plan and a purpose for each single one of us, Lord. And You call us this morning, Lord, just to prepare our hearts, to consecrate ourselves for the new season ahead. And Lord, we want to lay down the old things, the wilderness experience, the disappointments. Lord, we want to acknowledge, Lord, that we have failed, that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And as it were, this morning, Lord, we want to consecrate ourselves unto You. We want, Lord, to recommit our lives unto You and say, Lord, here am I. You said to Isaiah, who will I send? And He simply replied, here am I. Lord, I pray this morning that will be the cry of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive to Your presence. We would be sensitive to Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would know a deeper measure of your holiness, that we would know a deeper measure of what it means to be consumed and filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I pray that this place would be a river, Lord. A river flowing through Ballymoney Elam. A river of life. A river that flows up every street into every home. Lord, that people might see the goodness and the greatness of God. And I pray, Father God, this morning, there's many here that just need to take a simple step of faith. Whatever that you are calling them into, I pray that they would transfix their eyes on Jesus. And Lord, their response, I don't know the pathway, I don't know the journey, but Lord, I'm just learning to trust you day by day. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you're raising up a people, Lord, that comes with expectancy to a God who satisfies every single need. Lord, have your way in this place. Challenge our hearts. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.